This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9 is celebrating the International Day of Happiness, presented by UEM Sunrise.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. It's our weekly take on all things property related. I'm Sim Wee Boon. Today is the International Day of Happiness, and in conjunction with this celebration, we're going to be talking about something that brings joy and happiness to many children and even adults around the world. Parks. Now, many of us have fond memories of playing in the parks after school. Even now, as adults, we enjoy a brisk walk or even exercising around our neighborhood parks. But what are the considerations when it comes to designing parks? What are the challenges and how can we approach it in a sustainable and ecological manner? So joining us today on the show is Dr. Khalilah Zakaria, Associate Professor at the Department of Landscape Architecture at the International Islamic University of Malaysia, IIUM, to talk about it more. Welcome to the show, Dr. Khalilah.
Yes, hi, Sim.
I want to start off, okay, how do you start designing a park?
Okay, so we know that recreational parks is meant for the public to use, you know, as a place for us to do recreation. We can summarize it to three strategies of how to start designing or planning for a park. So number one is, of course, location accessibility, because we need the park to be easily accessible by all, you know, from homes, from school, from a place where people work. So, for instance, if you have a park in a neighborhood area, it needs to be well connected to where people live. So things like a connected sidewalk and then ample parking spaces are very important facilities. And then if we're designing a park for the urban area, for the cities, then connectivity to where people work, you know, access from different areas around the city is also important. The second thing is planning for the spaces and the activities that we want to do, that we want to offer. So in the design process, we call this design programming. As we know, essentially, we go to the park to do our leisure activities, you know, to play sports. You know, children love to play in the playground. I think adults love it too. And obviously to enjoy nature and the outdoors. So as landscape architects or, you know, it's very important to identify early on who are the users of the park. For instance, we know there are different categories of people in the public. You know, you have the children, families. And then you have also the youth and adults and the elderly. And don't forget, there are also people with different abilities. So this would then determine the type of spaces that you want to have in the park. Definitely, since a park is an outdoor area, we would need to have some of the forested areas to be preserved, because it's a piece of nature that our cities, you know, currently don't have much of anymore. And then we might also list out the type of spaces that for people to use, such as playground, open fields and gardens, and definitely jogging tracks and exercise facilities and sports. And then moving on to the third strategy, after we have designed the spaces for the activities, then we will look into designing and locating the elements. So we will think of the street furnitures, the outdoor furnitures, such as benches where people can sit and rest, you know, gazebos for people to gather and also maybe do picnics, amenities such as, you know, rubbish bins, lighting. And if you see now, most parks have something special to offer, like focal points, such as water fountains, sculpture, you know, some hanging bridge to attract people to, you know, come to the park and to make the park a bit different from other parks. So, yeah, basically, those are some of the key essential strategies of designing a recreational park.
Okay, but there's also many types of parks. We have recreational parks, we have urban parks, we have national parks. So, I mean, how do you differentiate them, especially when you talk about things like the focal points, furnitures, facilities, landscape? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so according to our National Landscape Guideline by the National Landscape Department, the categories of the park can be determined according to the size. So you might have a park as small as a play lot, such as those in apartments or in high-rise areas. So this can be a minimum of 0.2 hectares. So usually for a play lot, it is required to have, you know, at least a small playground and an open space as part of a basic needs. So what local councils would have are these requirements of the minimum types of spaces and facilities that needed to be provided. Then moving on to a larger scale, It might be a park at the neighborhood, which we call a neighborhood park, or Taman Kejiranan. And this might be a bit bigger, like 2 hectares. And it might also have a bit more facilities because of the larger spaces. Maybe sidewalks or jogging tracks. It might even have parkours because people can do their exercise outdoors, and other types of elements such as picnic areas and gazebos. And then as we go a bit further to the city scale, which we call city parks or urban parks, these are definitely bigger, 40 hectares or more. For example, we have KLCC Park, the Titi Wangsa Park, especially with the newly renovated park design. And then we also have the Perdana Botanical Garden and Taman Tugu. So if we look into these parks, they have different types of additional facilities, such as public toilets and maybe food kiosk, and some might even have a hall for the community or the city to rent to do other activities. And then if we look into the regional scale at the country level, then we have national parks. So these are mostly conserved forest areas, like our many Taman Negara in Malaysia. And then their facilities might be different, because not all of the areas of the national parks are open to the public. Only some are allowed to be built with infrastructure. But then the types of design might be towards forming up trails for people to do nature trails, to do nature-based activities like bird watching, wildlife watching, and camping area and so forth.
Why do you think it's important for cities, neighborhoods, country, states to have parks? Why? What benefit do parks bring to the community?
Okay, humans need to be in touch with nature. I think that is just how we are, we are sort of built. We are natural beings, and being in nature is part of our life. To get fresh air, to get sunlight, and it has become an essential part of living. If you look into history, the needs of parks have existed even in early civilizations in the form of gardens. In the 7th century, you have the Greek agoras, which are the outdoor plazas. In the 16th century, you have the Persian and Mughal gardens. And of course, in other, you have the Japanese gardens, you have other types of, Chinese gardens. And then as we go on throughout history, you can see that, after the Industrial Revolutions, people realize that they need a space to, as a respite, to relax, to recreate. And this is initially how parks become facilitated with better amenities and infrastructure. So even in Malaysia, our lake gardens have dated for more than 100 years, so since the 1880s. Now, parks are important for us as humans to do recreational activities and also be part of, the public. So it's not only for social, but many studies have found that it contributes to a person's well-being. And I think this relates closely, with the International Happiness Day. Being outdoors, being under the sun, being in nature, listening to the sound of the birds, actually contribute to well-being. My colleague, Dr. Mazlina Manso, also from IUM, studied on green infrastructure in which it enables urban residents to achieve well-being. And as of, I think, maybe 10 or 15 years back, there has been a lot of study that found being in nature can induce positive emotional response and even lower blood pressure. So this is a very good thing. We know that parks function as a green lung for the city. So it is not only for social benefits and recreational, but it's very important for the city itself. Because, our cities are built with a lot of buildings, and then it produces, increasing urban heat island. If you go to any cities without street trees, without parks, you can feel, it's getting hotter than before. So having parks, one of the benefits is that it helps to cool the environment. So in the studies of green infrastructure, parks and the streets and pocket parks and waterways, it's actually called, green infrastructure and green corridors, because it can connect the whole city and also other bigger parks in the city. And then not only that, parks also function as a watershed. It can infiltrate surface water runoff and become a bioretention. One of the latest projects I think that has been quite well known within the last 2 years is the design of Centenary Park in Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, designed by a landscape architect, where they designed this park that also functions to detain flood water. Because Bangkok is known for its, 100-year flood. So the park has been designed with a water retention area underneath. So in case the flood happens, the park is able to hold that water, for a certain amount of time before it is slowly released back into the drainage ways.
Okay, very, very interesting. And we'll be back with more after these messages. So stay with us, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon. And with me here today is Dr. Khalila Zakaria, Associate Professor at the Department of Landscape Architecture at International Islamic University, Malaysia. We've been talking about how parks are designed and its importance to the community. My next question for you, Doctor, is that what are the challenges and the issues when it comes to designing and building parks, especially here in KL?
I would say that, thankfully, KL has been designed with, three or four major parks footprints in the city. So they have been there. And we're quite lucky to have, Taman Tasik Titi Wangsa, Perdana Botanical Garden and KLCC Park and the new Taman Tugu as part of our city. Now, one of the challenges is looking into spaces to build more pocket parks in between the buildings and to connect the parks through our green infrastructure, such as streets, and then connecting it to these bigger parks. So if there's opportunities for new developments, buildings to include pocket parks or rooftop parks as part of the development, I think that is highly imperative that we look into it. And the second one would probably be taking care of the park by the public. Local councils do a lot of work for maintenance. As designers, we design a lot of spaces, creative ideas, and then local councils have to maintain it. But when it comes to the public, if we love the park, then we really need to take care of it. We have to perform our civic duties to take care of the park as a user. This means that, helping in terms of not throwing rubbish everywhere, not vandalizing the facilities, and treating it as something that we appreciate and that we want others to use it as well. And then the third one is probably looking into how our parks can become an important ecological place. Because I think that everybody knows already, it's quite well established that parks as a recreational area, but we need to emphasize that parks also have a very important environmental role because it functions, as I've mentioned before, the green lung of the city, a watershed, and a very important place to reduce the urban heat island.
Going back to what you said, Taman Titi Wangsa, when it reopened, there was trash, there was vandalism. How do you change the mindset of Malaysians so that we kind of have a more consciousness in terms of our civic duty to maintain these public amenities that we have?
Yeah, seeing the photos initially, it was quite sad because we see this beautiful park and then parts of it being vandalized and not taken care of. I believe this is a process for the society. It definitely can change. We can definitely grow to be better. And we have to think of where we can start, for example, at home, through education and awareness of the parents to the children, and then at our educational institutions, reinforcement by schools in reminding our role and our responsibilities in universities, and hopefully it becomes a culture for all of us. In another aspect, is in maintaining sustainability is also to look into governance, how a park is managed, and do parks have sustainable landscape management plans, and are there guidelines that are provided? For example, our national landscape policy do outline certain guidelines that of the do's and don'ts at the parks, and many local authorities also provide these guidelines. So the next thing in action would probably be community engagement and creating more awareness. So over time, then people will understand the need to take care of their park. You don't want to lose something that you love, so you've got to really take care of it. And then over time, I do believe that our society will get to the point where everybody knows their responsibilities to their public spaces.
Okay, what about safety issues? How do you design a safe park? Because, you know, a lot of children go there. I mean, are there any considerations when it comes to that?
Yes, actually, it is part of requirement for playground equipment to follow the Malaysian standards. So this is part of the, you know, approval stages when a designer design, when a landscape architect design or propose certain facilities and playground equipment. It has to be checked and then it has to be approved. That is one thing in terms of safety. Another thing in terms of the design consideration, in how, you know, how certain elements of playgrounds are located, we have to study and understand how people use the park. So this is part of the design process, anticipating how people will use the space, move around the space, and how we then design to accommodate that, to ensure that safety is there. But we can't design to the extent that, you know, you fence everything, that you don't allow playfulness to happen, because that is also what park should offer. You know, it's part of growth, but there needs to be an element of safety. The other aspect is using the public eye. So this Jane Jacobs, one of the activists in the US who talks about streets and public spaces, she talks about the public eye, means that how the public also help to monitor the safety of each other. So by having, for example, the parents sitting next to a bench facing the playground and paying attention to the children, this could also help to increase the safety measures in public parks.
Let's move on to sustainability and ecology. What are these considerations when it comes to park design in terms of sustainability and making it eco-friendly?
Yes. First, in order to design a park sustainably, we need to understand the role for a park, especially today, you know, heading on to a more sustainably developed places according to the Sustainable Development Goals, that parks are not just for recreation. It is also for nature, especially in cities. So how we use and select the materials needs to be functional for sustainability as well. So, for example, if before this, a sidewalk might just be, you know, a tarmac or a sidewalk. But now there are products of materials, sidewalk materials that are permeable, which means that when rainwater falls down, it's able to absorb some of that rainwater, and then which that rainwater, when collected, can be reused for irrigation. So they are what we can call like a smart technology, and also designing with more or better functions in mind. And then the second thing is looking into a more efficient and management and maintenance. So these are the different roles of governance, you know, guidelines. We have tree preservation order, and then we have the National Landscape Policy that outlines this. And then continuous education and awareness is part of that sustainability process as well.
Okay, and what about the future of parks? In 10 years' time, what can we expect from these parks that we're going to have or we're going to build?
Well, as we look into history, you know, from early civilizations, the role of parks as for recreation have not changed. And so far, you know, because it is a common basic need, and I foresee that it will still remain a basic human need. But perhaps we can look into how parks adopt, you know, technology into its facilities, such as now we have, you know, electric bikes, so there might be, you know, charging stations. And there might also be, you know, smart technologies such as solar energy has been used in some places, so that the park lighting for the gazebo can be harvested from the solar energy instead of using electricity. And it might go towards combining smart technology for maintenance also, such as automated irrigation. And that's not something new. It has been used now, automated irrigation, so that you won't have to use manpower, so you can reduce the cost of labor. But so in that sense, that I see that the function of the park for human needs and recreation will remain pretty much the same. And perhaps we'll have improvement in terms of how we manage it more efficiently in the future.
Okay. And, you know, property prices are so high right now, and there's always a push and pull when it comes to recreational spaces. What would you say to governments or even developers about like why having a park is actually invaluable?
Right now, I think having a park next to any property development, or, you know, buying a house in front of a park can actually increase the property price. So in that sense, you know, having green area, natural scenery has become something rare, so providing it becomes something special. But at the same time, I think it's very important to look into how, although we have a park that increased property price, it still needs to function to serve for the public. You know, unless it is a private park that belongs inside the development, that's a different case. But if it is in a public area, it needs to be able to be used by the public as well. Meaning that it cannot be simply just for the property, because recreational parks in the city is meant for the public to use.
Okay, and that's all the time we have for today's property show. Thank you for being on the show, Doctor. That was Dr. Khalilah Zakaria, Assistant Professor at Department of Landscape Architecture at IIUM, International Islamic University in Malaysia. Now, at this point, I recognize that we as Malaysians are being encouraged to practice social distancing. So everyone, please stay safe and let's all hope that we can appreciate our beautiful green lungs soon. And now we move to Kenny Wong, Chief Marketing Officer at UEM Sunrise. Now, today is International Day of Happiness. And how apt is it that UEM Sunrise just recently unveiled a new tagline, Find Your Happy? So, Kenny, can you share with us the idea behind this tagline and how would this translate into your development?
I think the property industry has always been a very physical kind of industry. Everything's about building structures and building communities. So we wanted to use a more human-centric approach that tackles the emotional side of what makes a person happy. For example, our latest development, Kara Bay, we wanted to create an environment for communities from all walks of life to be able to live, to thrive, and to find their happy. It's made up of three distinct districts, the Waters, Lakefront District with an activated waterfront, the Walk, which is mainly a central business district, and thirdly, the Village, which is designed for harmonious community living.
Thank you very much. That was Kenny Wong, Chief Marketing Officer with UEM Sunrise.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
This International Day of Happiness special was brought to you by UEM Sunrise. Find your happy.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.